From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Senate Democrats have the 60 votes they need to push the financial regulatory bill toward final passage. NPR's Audie Cornish reports a handful of key Republicans have signed on.
Democrats need at least three Republicans in order to overcome a filibuster threat and get the Wall Street regulatory bill to the president's desk. Now, Maine Senators Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins say they're on board, as well as Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown.
Well, it's certainly not a perfect bill. I think it goes a good measure to make sure we don't have the same type of problems that we had before.
The bill could come up for a key vote as soon as Thursday. The legislation aims to give new powers to banking regulators so they can quickly dissolve failing financial companies and avoid long-term bailout programs. The bill also proposes new requirements for high-risk trading in the hedge fund and derivatives industry. Audie Cornish, NPR News, The Capitol.
A Senate panel is delaying action on Elena Kagan's Supreme Court nomination until next week. Republicans say they need more time to review Kagan's written answers to questions they have asked. Kagan is widely believed to have the support she needs to be confirmed to the High Court. One of the most influential and charismatic figures in American professional sports is dead. Longtime New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner died this morning after a heart attack. NPR's Tom Goldman reports that Steinbrenner had just turned 80 on July 4th.
Baseball's All-Star Game is tonight. It's an annual mid-season celebration of the game, but there'll be a somber note running through the event following George Steinbrenner's death. Steinbrenner was an iconic figure in American sport, especially in New York, where he led the Yankees back to the top of the pro sports pyramid. Steinbrenner headed a group that bought the team for $10 million in 1973. Today, it's estimated the Yankees are worth between $1 to $2 billion. Over the years, Steinbrenner didn't so much run the team as he did reign over it. Driven by a need to win, he once said, "Winning is the most important thing in my life," after breathing. Steinbrenner spent lavishly on the best players, not always with great success. He feuded with his managers and players. He was suspended twice from baseball, but those closest to him say Steinbrenner was an endlessly charitable man and loyal friend. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Broadcasters can no longer be fined for uttering curse words on the air. A federal appeals court has rejected a Federal Communications Commission policy on expletives. The second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan finds the policy is unconstitutionally vague. Under the FCC policy, words referring to sex or excrement is always indecent. The policy took effect after NBC's 2003 broadcast of the Golden Globes Awards, during which U2 singer Bono used the F word. Dow's up 150. This is NPR News. NAACP delegates meeting in Kansas City are expected to consider a resolution that condemns the Tea Party movement. We have more on this from NPR's Cheryl Corley.
The NAACP resolution says there's more to the Tea Party than a philosophy of less government and fewer taxes and activism. It accuses the movement of harboring racist elements. NAACP President Ben Jealous says some Tea Party protesters have made it clear during rallies this year that they are anti-President Obama. Although Tea Party activists have distanced themselves from so-called fringe elements, Jealous says the conservative activists should expel racists in their ranks or take full responsibility for all their actions.
We will no longer allow you to hide like cowards behind signs that say lynch our president or anyone else.
The NAACP is coordinating with other groups to march on Washington in the fall as part of a next strategic step against the Tea Party movement. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Kansas City, Missouri.
The youngest detainee at Guantanamo Bay says he plans to boycott his upcoming trial in August and he wants to fire his attorneys. In a hearing at the U.S. War Crimes Court at the base, Canadian Omar Khadr says he rejected a plea deal that would have gotten him out of prison in 5 years if he admitted to killing a U.S. soldier in 2002. Khadr called the deal a sham. Seven former political prisoners from Cuba are in Spain. Those who arrived in Madrid today with their families are the first of 52 prisoners Cuba has promised to release under a deal struck with the Vatican. The agreement is a major policy shift for Cuba's communist government, which is facing increasing pressure to take more steps toward democracy. This is NPR News.